Chapter 3. Planet Sallust. Day 85 of the Midrim Retreat.
As evening approached in Pinyumba, the obsidian of the cavern roof slowly lost its refracted iridescence. The great towers of the city, rising from the cave floor like stalagmites, dimmed their upper lights until the dome was lost to blackness. The yellow sulfur that clung to the cavern walls seemed to turn sickly pale. The rustling of ash angel wings came and went as the creatures returned from foraging to nest. With the ash angels came the people of Pinyumba, arriving in lifts and shuttles from the factories of the surface or departing their housing blocks for the night shifts. There were dark and pale humans, gray-skinned Sullustans, and rarer species too. Pinyumba was cosmopolitan in its way. Those willing to toil were welcome, and all others were outcasts. Thara Nayendi didn't linger in the streets or stroll along the turquoise streams that flowed by Pinyumba's walkways. She didn't stop to pick out familiar faces from the commuter crowds. Like everyone else, she had errands to run before curfew. She did, however, take the time to nod firmly in the direction of the stormtroopers posted at every shuttle and intersection. Only twice did the men or women inside the armor nod back. Thara passed squat steel-gray buildings that bore no signs, but that she knew well, a public bathhouse, a hospice, a cafe, and then descended a short flight of steps hewn from the cavern rock to an unmarked door. She hoisted the leather bag slung over her shoulder and pushed inside, where her eyes slowly adjusted to the dim cantina lighting. No more than a dozen customers were present, nearly all men and nearly all old, no matter the species. They were broad-shouldered and wrinkled, sturdy and scarred from years of work in the Inyusu Tor mineral processing facility. Most were gathered about a hollow table displaying an off-world sporting event, but they spoke to one another loud enough to drown out the soft holocast.
"Uncle!" Thara called in the direction of the bar. "I'm here to spoil you."
The man who looked up from the array of nozzles behind the bar and started Thara's way looked old enough to be her grandfather rather than her uncle. And if his hair had ever matched her bright blonde locks, the color had faded long ago. He clapped her on the shoulders as other heads turned and aged lips smiled at the young woman. The voices around the hollow table lowered. "The only person getting spoiled is you," Thara's uncle said before accepting the leather bag from her hands. "Working half as long as the rest of us and paid twice as much. But let's see what you've got anyway." He placed the bag on an empty table and began to rummage through its contents. First out was a tube of ochre gel. Thara's uncle turned it in his hands, then shouted over his shoulder,
"Mayan! Got another tube of burn salve! Boys in Dorm 4 still hurting?"
Thara remembered the accident with the Dorm 4 workers. They'd been scalded badly when the steam pipes from the magna extractors had broken. Some of the workers still hadn't returned to duty. Soon they'd be evicted from their residence. Mayan, a diminutive Sullustan, hobbled over to the table. He spoke in his native tongue, too quickly for Thara to fully understand, but the tone sounded grateful, and carried the salve away.
"Good start," Thara's uncle said.
Thara smiled at him wryly and nearly caught him smiling back. One by one, he pulled Thara's donations from the bag. Extra food credits, flu tablets, mask filters for the men working in the deepest ore processors. And, calling his customers to the table, meted out gift after gift. Some of the recipients clasped Thara's hands, praised her and her family. Others refused to look at her. As her uncle continued sorting through the bag, she drifted away and studied the nozzles on the wall behind the bar. Her uncle had been repairing them, she saw now, replacing a fluid valve. He'd left his tools on the floor. She picked them up and started working, the way she remembered doing as a teenager.
"My son gave me a flyer the other day. Says he's thinking about joining.
Thara was close enough to the hollow table now that she could hear the older workers' hushed voices. She didn't want to hear. She hadn't intended to eavesdrop. But she wasn't going to leave either.
After the accident with the magma release, he said maybe the Cobalt Front was right. Maybe we do need to stand up for ourselves.
The Cobalt Laborers' Reformation Front?
A second voice sneered.
Is a band of terrorists. They probably caused the accident in the first place.
There was murmuring, reluctant agreement.
Protests are one thing. Riots are another.
Thara screwed the new valve into place. Cobalt Front members were terrorists, according to Imperial decree. It was a pity. She thought they might have done some good if they'd stuck to talking about safety procedures and factory conditions.
Is it our fault?
The first voice asked.
I know I protected mine. I didn't tell my son what we saw in the Clone Wars.
The third voice laughed.
Of course you didn't. Your kids would have never slept.
The first man continued.
But they would have known. They'd see why even a hard piece is better than
the alternative. Just pray the Rebel Alliance never notices Sullust. You think things are rough now?
Thara tested the attached nozzle, caught a trickle of something green and sweet-smelling in her palm.
Nah!
A new voice said in slow, ragged Sullustan, deliberately loud. Thara recognized the rasp of toxin-afflicted lungs. The condition was becoming increasingly common among the workers. Someone tried to shush the new speaker as Thara rose from behind the bar. The toxin-afflicted man, a withered Sullustan with drooping ears and jowls, kept going.
This is not peace. We are all slaves, every one of us. And the Emperor forges stronger chains every year.
Thara's uncle was hurrying to the hollow table. He squeezed the withered man's arm as the Sullustan propped himself against the tabletop and continued to speak.
I don't care who hears me,
the withered man snapped.
What Nunba said was true. We traded our lives to buy 1,000 years of darkness. The Empire runs on the blood of our grandchildren.
Thara's uncle forced the man back into his seat. Thara looked around the table. The workers were all staring at her, silent. I'll be back next week, she said quietly. If you need something, tell my uncle. I'll try to help. No one spoke as she left the cantina. She walked briskly down the street as if she could pound her frustrations into the stone, sweat them out through the soles of her feet. She tried to put what she'd heard out of her mind, concentrate on the evening ahead. She was nearly late for her shift as it was. She couldn't afford to go on duty distracted. She marched to the door of a sleek industrial building, looked into the mechanical eye of the scanner so that it could identify her. Passed 2 more checkpoints and onto her locker, where she finally began to relax. Donning her uniform always calmed her. She'd learned to dress and attach its components in less than a minute, but she preferred to go slowly, first stripping down and removing one by one the garments of Thara Nyendi of Sullust and stowing them in the locker. Next, she pulled on her new skin, a tough black body glove that sealed itself as she climbed in, too hot to be comfortable until the smart material adjusted to her body heat and the temperature of the room. She slid her feet into her white synth leather boots and then, always left first, then right, snapped her plastoid greaves onto her legs. The soft click and hum of mechanisms assured her she'd attached the pieces correctly, and their perfect sculpt felt far more natural than anything she could buy as a civilian. Belt and crotch plate came next, then the torso piece, locked into the belt, finally making her feel clothed. Shoulders, arms, and gloves came after the torso. Most days, she'd already forgotten her ordinary troubles by this point. Sometimes, she noticed her breathing had steadied, her muscle tension drained into the support of the bodysuit and plastoid. She could have attached the arm sections faster with the help of a droid or a colleague, but this was her ritual. She liked doing it alone. Finally, the helmet. She took it from its place in the locker and lowered it onto her head. For an instant, she was in total darkness. Then it clicked into place, the lenses polarized, and the heads-up display blinked to life. Targeting diagnostics cycled over her view of the locker room, power levels and environmental readings blinking at the corners of her eyesight. Like that, Vara Nayendi faded into the background. A stronger woman, a better woman, stepped into place to do her duty. She was SP-475 of the Imperial 97th Stormtrooper Legion.